always and forever. Praise God for that. Amen. You guys hear me okay? Okay. All right. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Merry Christmas, everybody. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this message this morning, for this worship this morning, Lord, and we praise you for every good gift that comes from you, and we praise you for our salvation and for this season, the reason for the season, Lord, the greatest gift ever given, our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, and we praise you out for that, Lord. We ask that you bless this message, Lord. I pray that it changes people, that it reaches the hearts of each of us this morning and reminds us, Lord, that we can change the world. That we can change the world by giving everything to you and just living for the kingdom and bringing as many people as we can with us to the great banquet in the sky, Lord. And so we praise you, Lord, for every opportunity you give us to spread that gospel, for the Great Commission. And we praise you for this word that reminds us to choose you over the world, Lord, each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, my sermon title, before I get to that, I was thinking, usually I do like a two or three sermon series for Christmas, and I'll preach for a couple weeks before Christmas even gets here. But this year, I just got one message, and it's going to be on Christmas Eve. That's all about Christmas. But I was thinking, we've been going on this journey through Acts, and I'll talk about this in a minute too. And that's all Paul preached about was Christ. Amen. And Christ is at Christmas is all about Christ. Amen. So why veer off of our text, right? When we can bring Christmas, Christmas is already there. Amen. So the title may sound a little out there, but some of us are a little out there too, but or at least have been out there, right? So my sermon title is Sold Out for Sin, amen? And that's for the kind of people that Paul's going to be dealing with here in Ephesus in today's text, people that are sold out for sin. Christmas can be real commercialized, amen? And a lot of people, even though it's supposed to be about Jesus, sell themselves out for sin at this time of the year, so... So we'll pray for everyone and thank the Lord for the true reason for the season, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So good morning. As I said, as we continue through this book of Acts, Paul's teachings about the birth of Jesus in Galatians 4, mainly, he talks about the death and the resurrection of Christ and the importance of faith in Jesus and how they are central to the Christmas message, because they are, amen? All that is central to the Christmas message. And so we're going to continue on in our text, and we're in chapter 19, verses 21 through 41. So we're going to finish chapter 19, amen? So we're following Paul once again on this third missionary journey, okay, to spread the gospel. And in fact, the book of Acts is all about spreading the gospel, amen, about the Great Commission. And Christmas, of course, is all about spreading the gospel as well. It should be. Amen? It should be all about Jesus. So in Ephesus at this time of today's text, as we said before, although many people had been saved and many were professing their faith and dedication to Christ, there were still many people in that town that were living worldly lives. Amen? They were living worldly lives, and they had nothing to do with God's church. Okay? So... in fact, they'd be against it, right? They'd be against it because it was going to impact their wealth. It was going to impact their income in a negative way to them. So remember last week, our last verse said that after burning the scrolls of paganism, the word of the Lord had spread, right? It spread widely and it grew in power. The church was growing in power. And this speaks to more than just Ephesus, but that whole province, that whole part of the world was growing in the power of the Lord. Amen? Thanks to Paul and the disciples that were preaching God's word. So you see, Ephesus was very influential and powerful in that region of the world. Okay? It was a very powerful city. and it had much influence. So there was a strong gospel message and a strong church growing in that land. And the land would become more peaceful, and it would become more humble because of that, as most places are when Christ enters. Amen? So less worship of false idols meant there was going to be less sin in that country, in that area, okay? And or in that society, if you will. Amen? Less sin, and the gospel, it was starting to change people. Right? That's what the gospel does. Amen? It was starting to change people, and it was starting to make a big difference in their society. Okay? But as we all know, anytime the gospel is successful, what happens? The devil brings attacks on God's people. Amen? The devil doesn't like us being successful in spreading the gospel message. And that's exactly what's going to happen here in Ephesus. Okay? Things were starting to get strong. The church was getting strong. And it says in verse 21, here we go, it says, after all this good stuff had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, okay? Passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I've been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. Then it says he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little bit longer, okay? These two verses are kind of a preview of the rest of the book of Acts and how his third mission, his final mission, and all that, and then his trip to Rome. This is a preview of the rest of the book of Acts, okay? And, of course, the rest of Paul's life on earth, amen? And so Paul's going to make his way back to Jerusalem, and then he's going to go to Rome. But he's not going to get there anywhere near the way that he might have thought he was going to get there, amen? It's going to be a rough trip. And so, guided by the Holy Spirit, he would make his way through Macedonia and Achaia, and then to Jerusalem, and then to Rome. And that, like I said, is the rest of the book. That's the route he's going to take. Now, Luke says elsewhere in the Bible, he says that the reason for Paul's route was to take donations, okay? Donations that were given to the church from Macedonia and Achaia to take that to the Christians in Jerusalem. Amen? And it says, and it talks about that in Romans 15, 25-26. Now, however, Paul says, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. Right? So this is just confirmation of what Paul's up to and what he's doing. Amen? And it kind of reminds me of our church and what a church should be, right? Helping the poor, amen? Helping people in need. And that's what Paul was concerned with, especially in the church, right? Helping the church in Jerusalem. And so the Holy Spirit, though, remember this, the Holy Spirit is leading him through all this, amen? The Holy Spirit is leading him through Macedonia, through Achaia, all the way to Jerusalem, and then he's going to lead him to Rome as well. So Paul would say that after that was done, he was going to go to Rome, okay? And he'd be right. Only I'm not sure he knew he was going to be going as a prisoner. Amen? But he was ready for that. Amen? He would be ready for that. And you see, the Holy Spirit was going to lead him where God wanted him to go, okay? Where God, only his journey was going to be much more difficult than he imagined. But remember what Paul said in Philippians 1. He said, to die would be gain, right? So he's ready. He's not afraid. He's unashamed, unafraid to do what God wants him to do, because for him, to die is gain. It should be for all of us, amen? To die is gain because we get to go be with the Lord, amen, as believers. Praise God. So verse 22 says, as he did that, he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little bit longer. Now, this wasn't Paul's M.O., amen? Paul wasn't the type that wanted to go be anywhere by himself. He always had people traveling with him, amen, to kind of help him deliver God's message. And but he would send these two men ahead of him thinking everything should be okay for a few more days here in Ephesus, amen, because everything was growing stronger, right? God's word was growing stronger. The church was, everybody was loving the message, right? But boy, he was going to be wrong about that, amen, because in verse 23 it says, around that time there arose a great disturbance about the way. About the way. You guys remember what the way was? The way? At this time, Christianity, they didn't call them Christians, they called them the way. Right? They were the people of the way. And this group of people in the church that were committed to the Great Commission, they were called the people of the way, right? So that was a perfect name because it was the way. It was the way, the truth, and the life, right? John 8:31, right? The way, the truth, and the life. It was the way that you need to live if you wanted eternal salvation with Christ, right? So that was the way, which is a choice that we all got to make, right? We all got to make that choice every day. God's way or the world's way. Amen? Because they're two different ways. God's way or the world's way. And so we choose. Amen? Free will, we make that choice every day. And so there's this great disturbance, it says, right? And then it says in verse 24 that a silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, you know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. True. There is danger not only that for our trade, that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, right? And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. She was a very important god to a lot of these people, amen, and powerful to them too. And then it says in verse 28, when they heard this, they were furious. Okay, they drank the Kool-Aid. Amen? They were furious and they began shouting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Right? They were all heads of businesses that were profiting from making items for the use of worshiping a false god. Amen? In this temple. All right? It was going to affect their money, right? They supplied items for the great temple of Artemis. And here is Demetrius saying, not only are you going to lose your income, but that the temple of their goddess is going to be discredited or even destroyed. Amen? So here's a picture of the temple. This is what the temple may have looked like. And this was the goddess. Amen? One depiction of her. One of the nicer depictions of her. But this temple was a great temple. Amen. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the world, ancient wonders of the world, okay? It had 127 pillars in that temple, and it had statues and just all kinds of things, right? And right at the center of it was a rock, a meteorite that had fallen from the sky. And they worshiped this rock, this meteorite. And they say that it was shaped like I'll tell you here in a minute. They said it was a weird, because the object was, they worshipped, it was this meteorite, right? And I forgot to put the picture up, but they said it looked like a weird sort of woman wrapped with like a mummy, okay? Like a weird woman wrapped with a mummy, all the kids out of here, with like 32 breasts on it. Oh my. And I didn't bring the picture, but it shows a picture of, they idolized this idol, amen? And they would idolize her as a symbol of fertility and sexuality. Okay, so they had a lot of idols like that. Amen? And before Christ came, all the people had worshipped her in that region. And a lot of people around the world were worshipping this goddess. People would worship these idols and images, and they would engage in these acts in the temple with the temple prostitutes. Okay? And all of this was big business. Okay? This was big business, big money for them. Whether they believed in her or not didn't matter. They were making money off of this idol worship. So Demetrius was saying to all these people that Paul and his disciples were bad for their business. Right? Bad for their business, whether they worshiped this goddess or not. And so he'd start to stir up trouble for Paul, right? And Demetrius would tell them, now that the way is in town, we're losing our money. We need to turn against this way. Get these guys out of here. Amen? And so this temple and everything that was involved in the worship were very popular, and their business was starting to drop. So Demetrius and his business partners were upset. They would come against Paul saying and what Paul was saying and what he was doing, and I'm sure Paul would tell them the truth, right? He was speaking to them the truth through his sermons, and they probably didn't like that either. And they were worshiping sin in the flesh. That's what he's telling them, right? You need to worship the one true king, not sin, not the flesh. You know, they were worshiping the flesh rather than the God that had created them. And Paul was telling them that in every message, I'm sure. He would tell them they were subject to this little statue, right? This little weird statue, amen? And he would tell them, forget about all that idol worship. Stop worshiping those idols. And I could just hear Paul saying, don't sell yourselves out for sin. Amen? Worship the one true God. Worship the one true God, the one that was revealed by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? Don't worship this God that you created out of some rock that fell out of the sky. Amen? But Demetrius was still worried about his money, and he would tell his own people that this was bad for business and that they got to get rid of these people of the way. So this was all confirmation that Paul was spreading the gospel in a powerful way. Remember what we said, right? When the gospel gets spread in a powerful way, Satan attacks, right? He was affecting this town and the region in a powerful way, and many people were going to come against him. Here he is preaching out in front of the temple. Amen? You see, many have always come against those who follow Christ, right? All through time, many have always come against those who follow Christ. And I believe it's the conviction in their hearts that drives them to anger and violence, right? They may not realize it, but it's the conviction that the Lord gives each of us, right? I think that was driving these people against the people of the way, amen? And by the way, Paul was not trying to deface or discredit anybody. He was just preaching the gospel, amen? He wasn't talking about their goddess. He was just preaching the gospel. And God's word was doing the converting, not Paul. Amen? And that's what God's word does, right? God's word changes us, not the preacher, but God's word itself is what changes us. Amen? So as people would hear more about and become closer to Jesus, they would naturally stop to worship this goddess. And they would start worshiping the true God. Amen? And they would stop spending money in the temple on these trinkets and statues and prostitutes, whatever, right? They wouldn't do that anymore because they were worshiping the true God. Business was not going to be good for Demetrius and his business partners. Amen? So, yeah. So let's take this to today's world. Amen? Christianity, even today, can and will affect our economy. Okay? And the more Christians we have in this town, the less people we're going to see in bars, the less people we're going to see in casinos, the less people we're going to see in strip clubs, amen? But at the same time, the more people we're going to have in coffee shops, right, and bookstores and good places, amen, restaurants. If we're following Christ, we're called to follow him all week, not just on Sunday, amen, all week in our jobs, in our homes, in our schools, everywhere. And, you know, and if we truly do this, it's going to change everything about us for the better. Amen? Including our spending habits. All right? And this is where we tie Christmas in here, right? Including our spending, even at Christmas. Pastor Robert's not going to be buying anybody bottles of liquor and lottery tickets for Christmas, okay? I can guarantee you that, right? I can guarantee you I won't be doing that. God's word changes us from sold out for sin to sold out for him. Amen. Amen. That's what it does. And that's what we want. If Jesus is the Lord of our lives, then he's the Lord over everything. Every day, everything. Even our money and our spending habits. Which doesn't mean you can't buy Christmas presents. Amen. Just bring some morality into the process, if you will, right? You can still buy, we can still buy presents. Amen. That's not my tree, but no, I'm just kidding. And so we're not just talking about changing on a personal level, though, okay? But as a community, right? As a community, as a nation, right? The changes that Christianity can bring to a community are not always welcome, though, okay? They're not always going to be welcome. In Ephesus, they weren't happy that because of Paul, people had begun to stop buying things associated with the worship of this goddess, okay? And this was because of the transforming work of the gospel in that area, right? It was changing people. It was a big problem for the sinful side of society, and it still is today, right? It still is today. It should be. This is a way that we, as Christians, should seek to change society, okay? By doing things differently. We should praise God for those that are in leadership as well, right? Praise God for those that are, and pray for them too, for those that are in leadership, even in politics, amen? For those that have power in their words, those that are saved and it can help to influence and change the world for Christ. It's not just pastors, amen, and evangelists, but secular leaders as well. God uses everybody, amen? So pray for our leaders. May God bless and protect those that are in a position in society, amen, to speak to the masses, right? Because through us and even through them, society is changed one soul at a time. One soul at a time. In Broken Chains, we say, just one more. Amen? One soul at a time. And in verse 28, they begin shouting in anger, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Right? They're mad. They're mad. They're shouting in anger. And in verse 29, it says, soon the whole city was in an uproar. Right? The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. And all of them rushed into the theater together. I'm going to show you a picture of it here in a minute. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to go into the theater, not to venture into the theater. Demetrius had started this big riot in Ephesus. Amen? And in verse 29 it says, the whole city rushed into this theater right here. They said it held like 20,000 people, but that's what it looks like today. Amen? That is the actual theater today. So, true story, okay? So they filled this whole theater with angry people that were shouting and defending this goddess against Paul and his people, okay? But Paul was ready to face the crowd. He wasn't scared, amen? He wanted to go in there and face them and tell them the truth, amen? He was not scared of this crowd. Paul was always ready to preach. It didn't matter if he was in a synagogue, if he was in jail, if he was on a street corner, amen, or even in a theater where he was definitely not wanted, Paul was ready to preach. He was always ready. And they would have to physically restrain him to keep him from going into this theater. Amen? And so these people, they didn't know much about Paul or the gospel, but they knew that Christianity was going to be bad for their business. They knew that. And so, you know, that included the worship of their goddess and all which would cost them money and their business. And so we could say that they were sold out for sin, right? Sold out for sin against the one true God that they should have been worshiping. You see, God's message was moving. It was changing lives, and things were actually getting better in town, okay? But as always, when God starts to move in any place and the people start to walk in faith, in the faith of the gospel, and it starts to affect these worldly ways and the immorality negatively, right? Those who profit from this immorality are going to come against the church. They're going to get upset. They're going to get mad. They're losing money. They're going to come against the church. But what's driving them to do that? Amen? The great deceiver. Amen? The great deceiver is telling them to go against what is right, God's word. Amen? And when people start going to church and they stop going to bars, bar owners are going to get upset. Amen? They're going to get upset. When they stop going to casinos, people will get upset. When they stop going to strip clubs, people in these businesses and in these industries will get upset because they're losing money. They got a different God than we do. Amen? They worship money. Amen? A lot of the world worships money. When God makes a great move in society and changes complete cities like he was doing in Ephesus, people are going to take notice. Right? They're going to take notice. And in positive ways and negative ways. Right? Some are going to be happy and join us. Right? Some are going to be negative about it, be mad about it. So he did it then and he does it today. He's still doing it today. So let us pray that God will do that in our city, right? That he'll use our church, right? And we are the church, amen? That he'll use our church as part of that mission to change society. This is what we call a revival, amen? We call that a revival. And many, many revivals have come and gone. And when they come, businesses like this of ill repute, if you will, start suffering. And I believe that we're in a revival right now. May even be in a recession, but I believe we're in a revival right now. Amen? Many strip clubs, I've seen many strip clubs and bars be shut down. Some may say it was because of COVID, right? But I say even more than that, I say it's because of a revival that's going on in this country. Amen? Amen? That's why you're starting to see more of these stuff shut. Well, I mean, everything's shutting down, but, you know, for the better. Amen? And I say thank God for that. That's a positive sign that the power of the gospel is in this town. It is. It is, and it's growing. And I think that the counterattack by Satan, remember we talked about counterattacks, right? For this small victory of seeing these businesses and things changing, I think the counterattack from the enemy is the flood of fentanyl across our borders. I really do. I think, you know, he's losing one battle, but he's coming at us with another one. Amen? Another thing that's really, you know, which in itself, fentanyl in itself, has changed the whole landscape of addiction in this world. Amen? The whole landscape. It's totally different. And I thank God that this wasn't around when I was out there, because I'm sure I wouldn't have made it through that. Amen? And but I digress. Amen? It says in verse 32 that the assembly, okay, the theater was in confusion, okay? Some were shouting, and this is the world today, amen? Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people didn't even know why they were there. They didn't even know why they were shouting, right? They're just going along with the crowd, amen? But I'm sure that they were being driven by some demonic spirit, right? We talked about that, right? These false gods are demons, amen? And the people who worship them and put them first in their lives, they become possessed by these demons. Amen? And so, verse 33 says that the Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front. They're trying to defend themselves. And they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Thousands of people. Amen? And shouting at the top of their lungs for 2 hours straight, okay? The sound in the theater must have been deafening, okay? Because it was sort of an amphitheater, right? These people were possessed by something, if you ask me. You know, to be shouting like that in unison, going against Paul preaching God's word, they would scream in defense of this goddess for 2 hours. I said, it must have sounded like a Metallica concert. Huh? Oh, okay. But let me tell you guys, okay? People still scream in defense of false idols today. All right? They were doing it then, and they still do it today. And they come in many forms, okay? People still scream, great is my sports team, right? People still scream, great is my political party. Great is the stock market. Great is pornography. Great is Anheuser-Busch, right? Great is Jack Daniels. And the latest one, the latest, greatest one, great is marijuana. Amen? People are still screaming for these false idols today, right? So what's your false idol today? You know, ask yourself that. Amen? What's your false idol today? Or what was your false idol maybe? Hopefully you don't have any. Amen? Because if you're still putting something before God, don't be surprised if that blessing doesn't come. Amen? If you're putting something before God, if you're putting one of these idols before God, don't be surprised if that blessing doesn't come. People speak and yell just the same today by their actions, right? People speak with their actions. What they spend their money on, what occupies most of their time, right? And the amazing part is that when people choose instead to say, great is Jesus, society looks at us like we're crazy, right? And that's what we're supposed to be doing, amen? Like we're the crazy ones. But as Christians, we're no longer called to be people pleasers, amen? No longer called to be, that stuff's done. We're called to honor God, to please God. He should be the only critic we're worried about, amen? To please God. Matthew 10:33, Jesus said, but whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father. Amen? That's what he says, and that's what he means. Amen? We should always claim before all people that the Lord Jesus is our Savior. Amen? And that we praise him because we know what he's done in our lives. We're a living testimony. Amen? A living, walking testimony of what God has done in our lives. Jesus is Lord forever, okay? And guess what? Nobody's worshiping that goddess of Artemis anymore. And that big fancy temple, there's only one pillar left out of all them pillars. It's still there, a little piece of concrete with one pillar, and nobody's worshiping her anymore. But God is forever, amen? God is forever, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now and forever. So let's see what happens with this great angry crowd. Okay, we got a few more verses to go here. Verse 35 says, then the city clerk quieted the crowd, and he said, fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples or blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls that can make those decisions. They can press charges. If there's anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we're in danger of being charged with rioting because of what has happened today. And in that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion since there's no reason for it. After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. After 2 hours, right, of shouting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, finally the city clerk gets up, right? And he says, hold up, calm down, right? We know Artemis is great and you have lost a little bit of money at the temple, but we don't have to start a riot. Amen? You don't have to start a riot. The Romans are not going to be happy when they hear that we violated this order, this public disorder law. Amen? They're not going to be happy with us. He also reminded them, Paul never preached against their goddess, right? He didn't preach against their goddess. He never preached against their goddess. He just preached for God and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? He was just professing Christ. That's it. So he would conclude that if there was any charges to be brought up, let's go through the legal proper channels to bring those charges up. Amen? And the people would listen because it says at the end, right, that they were dismissed. They dispersed. They listened to him. Amen? God used that city clerk to calm the mob. Right? God used the city clerk to save Paul and the other disciples. God always protects his work and his people. Amen. Always. And he will use even our enemies, okay? Even our enemies to further his message and to protect his church. Whether they know it or not, he'll use them too. The mob could have took Paul and all the Christians out right there in Ephesus, but it wasn't God's will for that to happen. Right? It was not God's will for that to happen. God was going to protect his people because that was his will. The work of Jesus was going to continue to go forth as it always has and it still does today. Still does today. The work of Jesus goes forth in strength, but it never goes forth without, what we say, a pushback. right? There's always a pushback from the forces of darkness. So if you get serious about serving the Lord and you start doing great things, I can almost guarantee you the enemy's going to come up against you. Amen? But don't give up. Amen? Don't give up, because in the middle of it, as you push forward, God will strengthen you. God will give you the strength to live right. Amen? And remember, no matter the battles, when we live our lives for Christ, despite the hardships and the setbacks by the enemy, the war's already won. The war's already won, and Christ is King. And each of us, all of us as believers, can do all things through Christ. Amen? Amen. And He brings amazing healing too. So don't be a sellout for sin because of a little pain or a little struggle. Okay? Don't be a sellout for sin. Suffer for His name. Never be ashamed of the gospel. And put on that full armor of God every day. Amen. We have to. Amen? Because the enemy's going to attack. And in the end, remember to do all these things. Because in the end, the benefits are out of this world. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And eternal. And that's all because a Savior was born one day in the town of Bethlehem, and His name is Jesus. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, Amazing Grace. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.